For those of you familiar with the angelic conflict, you're aware of the fact that there's been a war going on since the beginning of human history and even going back before human history between God and Satan. There have been any number of battles that have taken place in this war, but I think the two most important and the ones that had the most, the furthest reaching impact. Number one, the Battle of Golgotha Hill. That's where our Savior defeated sin, death, and the devil. And there's no doubt about that. That is the greatest battle that was ever fought and indeed won. But I think the second greatest battle that was fought was the Battle of Gethsemane. If you'd like to follow along with me in Matthew chapter 26, for a few moments at least, we can read some of the details. In Matthew 26, verse 36, we're told that Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that is James and John, and began to be grieved and distressed. And again, I don't have much time here, but I can't tell you how moving that was to be there and to think that that was the rock of agony, not just in a general fashion, but for me. What the grief, the distress that he went through, if not for you, was for me, and I'm humbled. He said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." He went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as thou wilt." You have there the first-class condition, if and it is possible. It's a very interesting concept. On the one hand, the character of God, not demanded, I don't think I can say that, but his righteousness and justice had to be satisfied. But beyond that, they did not demand that he do anything to redeem the human race, but his love did. His love drove him, and all of his attributes working in harmony. I hate to say he had to do it, but internally, I don't know that I'm all that wrong. His own character demanded that he do something for the very creation that he had produced. But other than that, we did not make him do anything. There was that possibility, if and it is possible. And you know that, Father. I don't have to do this. I can turn back right now. And this is where the battle was fought and won. We realize that he has a choice to make. He can either turn back and call the whole thing off, or he can set his face as a flint, as Isaiah said he would, and press on and march on to the next battle, the Battle of Golgotha Hill. And so he recognizes, yes, it can pass, but the real issue is not what I would prefer, what I will, but what you want. He came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Well, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away," again, it cannot. Have here the mood of reality. He knows that this cannot be done away with unless I drink it. And again, thy will be done. The one point I'd like to emphasize for you is that is a fundamental decision all of us have to make. Life is not about what we would like it to be, our own agenda, our own expectations, as Gene said a while back. It is not our will that is the issue, it's God's will. And many of you, I'm sure, are going to go home. I don't know very many of you, but the law of average would say that many of you are going to go home and face some very important decisions. It might involve your career, it might involve a financial decision, it might involve breaking off a relationship, it might involve staying in a relationship you'd rather break off. But the issue is not your will, the issue is God's will. And I suggest to you that if you've really been walking with God, and I know most of you, not if all of you are believers, and I trust you've been abiding in Him, you might be at a place in your life where you know what God wants you to do. You know that that relationship you're in is not of God. You know that business deal you're about to consummate is not right. You know that course you're pursuing in your life is really not what God wants you to do. He might be calling you to ministry, to a different career, a different situation. Christ did come to produce peace in a way, in here. But he also said, "I came to divide and separate a father from a son, a mother from a daughter, and so forth." And so as you go through life, many times, it's not going to be all the health, wealth, and prosperity. We live in a blessed nation in America. Our lives, I think, for the most part, all of us Now, they're very easy. Very seldom do we have to make a decision that is going to put our lives in danger. But as a matter of fact, you might be faced with that kind of decision. It might indeed result in your life being lost as it was with the Savior. He said to take up our cross and follow Him. They're easy words to say. But I need to tell you this on a very personal level. I have stood in back of a pulpit now for almost 25 years. I've read the Word of God. I've read the words of Christ. But beyond that, I've claimed to not only read them, but understand them, to explain them. I have been so humbled in this trip. Number one, by Mate and Ezra and Ben, or Dan, as they have no doubt forgotten more about the history of this land than I ever knew. But with all due respect to these three gentlemen, I've been humbled to stand at the very sites my Savior stood. Who am I to say, well, this is what He was thinking. This is what His words really meant. I'm humbled, but I'm challenged to make sure I get it right. It is not my will, my opinion, what I want the text to say, how I want to apply it. It is what it really means and how Jesus would have us apply it. Can you imagine if Christ were to somehow make an appearance, walk through the doorway, and find Himself seated back there with me being unaware? Yikes. John, I didn't mean that at all. Gene, you got it way off the mark. Well, the whole thing is about His Word, His will, and living His way. And so again, the one challenge I would leave you with, whatever is in front of you this week, and hasn't it been an incredible week? Absolutely incredible. But whatever awaits all of us when we go back home, remember that your Savior fought the greatest, second greatest battle in all of human history, the Battle of Gethsemane, somewhere right in here, as He sweat drops of blood, as He was torn in His humanity. I don't want to do this. I know what awaits me, the emotional humiliation, the physical pain, but most especially the spiritual separation, that pain, separating from His Father, from the Spirit, something He'd never experienced before. And why did He do it? Not for the world, really. He did it for the world, but He did it for you, for me, individually. My name was in His mind when He did that. And He pressed on. He set His face as a flint. And He experienced all that humiliation and did not quit, refused to quit, until He marched up the hill of Golgotha and there acquired the greatest victory man has ever known. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that our Savior refused to give up. We're so thankful, sir, that He set His face as a flint. No matter what the crowds might do or say, He realized He was on a mission. He had a goal. Father, we realize that He refused to give up because He wanted to please You and obey You. And beyond that, because He loved all of us so much that He gave Himself for us. Father, there's no way that we can ever suffer as He did. It's not only that He suffered, but it's who He was and what His suffering accomplished, that is our redemption. But Lord, in whatever measure You might allow suffering into our lives, whatever difficult decisions we might be asked to make, we might always be challenged by the fact that He said, it is not my will, but Your will. Help us to remember these words this day, this week, for the rest of our lives. Do so to Your glory and to our benefit. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.